All right, and praise the Lord, everyone. It looks like we got a few messages. Thank you, Brother Kenny. Let us know that the sound is coming in fine. Tonight, we are going to continue to hear part two of Brother Paul Price's message we started last week, which is Gideon's 300. And of course, most of you know the story here where Gideon started with a few thousand soldiers, but at the end it dwindled down to only 300 soldiers. That may sound like a negative thing at first, but when you think about what happened, God thinned some things out. And just as God is thinning some things out of us, to removing things out of us that we don't need in us so that we can make sure that we are lightweight, that we can move quickly, agile, and be able to fight in this battle for the Lord. And that's what we think of when we think of Gideon's 300. And it reminds me of our church and what's happening in our church with our evangelism and our outreach right now. The Lord is getting our people ready to be able to fight this battle without the weights of the world, without the weights of our personal lives weighing us down. Boy, I'm already feeling the Holy Ghost just talking about this tonight, everyone. I hope that you can feel this burden, you can feel this faith, you can feel this evangelism, the spirit of evangelism that is taking hold of us. I'll talk about that a little bit more after this message. We're going to go ahead and let Brother Paul Price do the preaching tonight. He's going to talk part two of Gideon's 300. Let's go ahead and begin that now.
With that hunger in your heart, it drives you to want to learn of him and to know him. So what happened to me, Philippians 3:10 became my golden text. You got your Bible there? Would you read it good and loud? Philippians 3:10. Paul is writing, and he's at the end of his life when he writes this to the Philippians. He makes a statement that really got a hold of me. Read it good and loud. And that hit me when they said that. That first statement, and I put this on it. Oh, that I might know him. That's what came out of my heart. Oh, that I might know you. Paul has been preaching miracles, big revivals, and he's still saying that I might know him. Oh, friend of mine, we got the best thing this side of heaven. We've got a God that knows how to help you to learn of him. You've got a God that's better than any place you could go to in this world. Any kind of a gathering of any kind can't beat being in the presence of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. There's something about Jesus that makes you want to get close. The sinners wanted to get close. They're sinners. You know why? He made them feel they could come. He wasn't so holy that he couldn't be reached. He said, come on, come to me. And I'm telling you, Christian friend of mine, pray God puts that hunger and desire in your heart that makes you want to really know him. Oh, that I might know him. There is three stages of learning and knowing Jesus Christ. Number one, I might know him in what? I wanted to know him in the power of his resurrection. In the book of Acts, you'll find it very prominent. The Bible said, and with great power gave they witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They didn't preach the cross. They preached the resurrection. Because if he didn't come out of the grave, he's just like those two thieves. And with great power, they said, Jesus, come out of the grave. He has arisen. That disturbed Pilate and all the people of Jerusalem. And with great power, they declared it. And when Peter and John was brought before the Sanhedrin, they said, they took note, these men have been with Jesus. I want you to get the thought and understand this. He first must become your Lord before he can become your Savior. Because when those Jews was converted to Jesus Christ, They had to see Him as their Lord before they could ever have Him for Savior. Am I connecting on that? Amen. I want you to understand, He had to have be convinced that Jesus was the Messiah. James, the half-brother of Jesus, didn't believe on Him until after the resurrection. James wrote the book of James. He was a pastor at Jerusalem. And he magnifies Jesus as the one true God. He was a pastor there. If you read the book of James, it's just like the church is today. He's a pastor writing to people that were scattered abroad, went everywhere because of the persecution. And he began to tell them, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Well, he had a message. The biggest message he had in the book of James was people that talked too much, gossiped. Now, I've been teaching at home every Sunday morning for quite a long time on the book of James. And I just got to chapter 3 about the tongue, and I just got started. And I wanted to be there today to read it where the fire is going to burn it, you know? Where you get down to where this thing gets close to your nature. It's amazing how that tongue is the strongest muscle in your body. It's used the most. They say that. When I had my babies, and I enjoyed rocking them. Some folks say you spoil them. That's my business. I rock my kids. I enjoyed giving them a bottle. Friend, that little thing could hold that bottle. I could hardly put it out of its mouth when it's working on that thing. It must have 25-pound suction on that thing. You just try to pull it out. And if you do get it out, you better put it back. But I wanted our people to see the early church had the same problems we have here. They talked about each other. They complained. They murmured. And James told them about all those things. And he said, your tongue is set on fire of hell. Hey, you better find out where your anger is coming from. You can't fight fire with fire. And when you get upset and you get angry, go to saying things, just remember, you're going to eat your words. Stone King. I said, I don't even know him. Never heard of him before. Where does he live? He says, in New York. Well, I got the book down. I found his phone number, and I dialed Lee Stone King. He was pastoring a church there in New York. I told him who I was, and he knew Brother Barnes, and I told him that he told me to call you, and I began to tell him how hungry I was to know Jesus Christ. I didn't know it at the time, but he was going through one of the worst trials of his life at that time. The man that he was with wanted to have television, and he couldn't stay with that. He wouldn't go with them. And when he turned and would not go that way, they turned against him, tried to destroy him. And he was so lonely. I found out later that he just was by himself, as it were. He'd weep over it. He was hurt over it, but his conviction about, I cannot go that route. And he was in the middle of that, and I didn't know it. He come out to preach at Anaheim conference, was it 88 or 87, somewhere along there. And he didn't want to come to Anaheim. He didn't want to go home with me. I'd ask him before he come, I want you to go home and spend a week with me. He told me later, he said, I didn't want to go home with you, and I didn't want to come to that big meeting. You know, you can get so hurt that you crawl in a hole just like Elijah did. You need to get out where people are. You need to realize that the world's not coming to an end yet. Sky's not falling, and you'll live through it. But you're hurt. You need somebody to help you. Well, anyway, he went home with me. He was sitting in my front room, and we connected during that period of time. And so after a while, during that week, I said, you know why you're sitting there? It's not because you wanted to. Because God made you come here. And from that time on, I was able to help him to come through that great crisis. And other things that... This man is a special evangelist. I have to tell you, he's been criticized, falsely accused. I've stood up for him over many things that people trying to kill his ministry, but his ministry is bigger than ever before. He's going to foreign fields. He's been in my home enough times. He prays at home and works for God just as much as he does when he's any place else. Around the dinner table, we'll have a good old prayer meeting. Sometime we'll have a blessings of God that comes down. I'm trying to get across to you. He's not just a preacher in the pulpit. He prays, he worships, he seeks God. He has something in his soul. And that's what I wanted. I wanted somebody like that. I could call him on the phone anytime, start talking, and he'll get his pen down, go to writing. And I didn't know he's doing this. He said, oh, what you're telling me, I need to have that. He'd write it down. I want you. He has shorthand. He can do it. But anyway, I'm trying to get across to you. You got to find somebody that has something in them that wants more than the ordinary Christian wants. Hallelujah! I want more than just an ordinary kind. I want a Holy Ghost kind. I want a living God kind. It is amazing how inspired we get when we talk to each other. He's busy. He's got more to do. He usually comes and spends Christmas with us. He wants to relax at that time. We get him to preach just the regular services, but that's all. I can't even get him to come to hold a meeting. But we're in touch. That week made a difference with us. We began to bond. I like to talk to people that want to know Jesus Christ. I like to talk to young people who get hungry and say, I like to be able to know how to walk with God. Brother Joel Booker drove me over here. And the whole time I was riding with him, I was pouring it in. And he began to open up to me. He said, I don't want to make the mistakes that others made. I want to get my own convictions. I want to be able to know the Lord. I hear young people, I'm thrilled that you got that something in you. You can call me on the phone or anything and talk about Jesus. I'm ready. I'm here to tell you, this is the best thing ever happened to me. I'm not going to live in a dungeon. I'm not going to live with complaints. I'm not going to live with a lot of people's attitudes. I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. Let's thank Him for it. Raise your hand and worship Him. He's your God. He's your Redeemer. He's your healer. He's your encourager. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a thrill to me. I inspire Him. He inspires me. Because when you get inspired together, God gives you things you didn't even think about. And I'm just telling you, friend, there's something about knowing Him in these days, in this millennium, that's going to be greater than any time in the past history. We're living in prosperity, and prosperity is the worst enemy to our walk with God. Because you've got to discipline yourself. Under troubles and problems that put you there that you can't do a thing about, you have to deal with it sincerely with you and God, really so, because there's no way out. But you've got to discipline yourself to take time with Him on your own. He likes voluntary worship. He loves voluntary praises. Amen. That's why I say, we'll get into it later, but when you're praying, don't do all the talking. When you're talking, you're not learning. Now, there's a prayer that you must tell Him. God can do nothing in the earth until some human being voices a request from Him. I want to go over it again. God can do nothing only by prayer and supplication. Somebody has got to be able to request it. There are some things we don't know how to pray as we ought to pray, and the Spirit makes intercession. You go to speaking in tongues in the Spirit, and you don't know who you're praying for. But God knows. There's a missionary in Africa. China's got some problems and young converts over there. Taiwan, and you don't know where they are. You don't know how to pray as you ought to pray. But God's got to get somebody to say it. So He anoints you in speaking in tongues, and you pray in the Spirit, and the Spirit cries out and says so and so, and even calls them by name. Now, do you connect with that? If you don't, raise your hand. I want you to see, we're going to learn how to know this God we're talking about in such a way that you're going to be thrilled that you and Him have this communication. God can use you. Not every time would you know why. There's been many people that God dealt with to pray for somebody, especially missionaries. Now, I know one of them especially. It was over in one of the countries in Africa, Nigeria. And a person that knew this missionary, in the middle of the night, God woke this person out of their sleep and said, pray for, call the missionary's name. They got on the side of that bed and they prayed until they felt like victory had come. They put the time and the date down. That missionary come home. They got in touch on a certain day at a certain time. God dealt with me about praying for you. Were you in need? He said, I was in the worst case of malaria that I ever had. And if you've had malaria, you ache all over and you are cold in a hot sun. It is a hurting, aching. He said, on that day, God healed him. I began to sweat it out, and I'd been sick for days. And from that day on, I got improved till I got my health back. Look, church, we're not here because we got a little social gathering around here. We're here as a servant of Jesus Christ. And you're going to have to suffer some things. You've got to put up with some things. You can't keep going around complaining and murmuring and finding fault. You've got to be faithful, dedicated. If you're going to quit in the middle of a battle, then your strength is small. You've got to realize we've got to get some hardened soldiers, dedicated soldiers. We've got to have young people that's got something in them. Living for God is the main issue of our day. Serve the Lord with gladness and become an encourager to others. Don't always be looking for somebody to bless you. You come to bless somebody. Well, praise the Lord. It's so thrilling to me when I hear more and more of our preachers preaching in this vein. They are. I never did know it. But God has begun to prepare the church to get ready some people. And young people, you're it. To get you ready to be dedicated to God and learn to know the Lord in such a way that He can reveal Himself through you to somebody else. I believe you're going to find it. Well, from that point on, my reaching for Him was intensified. And I realized, and I looked in the Scriptures, there was those people like in Nazareth. He's born, raised there 30 years, but they didn't know Him. The two men on the road to Emmaus, they didn't know Him. Thomas didn't know Him. I don't mean they didn't know something about Him, but they had not had the revelation of a risen Christ. Philip, have I been so long with you and you still don't know who I am? Are we in church so long we know what we do in worship and how we do it, but we don't really get connected into the realm of great fellowship with Him? You see, there's a difference and just being used to doing as far as you go. But after a while, you got to get to a higher level. And it's not a higher level that you can't reach. It's reachable for you. So when I began to see that it's possible that we could be in church and we got all kind of information about Jesus, but not really know Him. I can name people's name that's noted that you could recognize in our country.
And they said, do you know so-and-so? Yeah. No, you don't know them. You're just saying, I know who you're talking about, because you don't really know them. So what I'm trying to get across to you, we need to learn that we can know him better. All right. From that, let me get to your little paper now. I run across this in the Amplified, and this hit my heart just exactly like I feel. I'm going to read it to you. Young people, everybody, I want you to get a copy of these three pages. I want you to agree that you will read it once a day out loud for a month. I want you to get it inside of you. Now, I was going to bring some little cards with it printed in a little card, but I forgot and left it. That's my problem. I always leave something. I wish I'd have decided to leave something beside that, but I didn't. I wanted you to put it in your purse or your pocket where you can pull it out every so often of the day and go over it. Now listen to it. You that don't have it, let's go through this. This is an Amplified version of Philippians 3:10. Oh, wait a minute. Let's read the rest of Philippians 3:10. I cut you off there. Start at the very beginning and read on through it. Now look, that's how he reveals himself. You've got the Holy Ghost, you've got the resurrection life in you. Fellowship of his suffering. You're going to learn that if you live godly, you'll suffer persecution. I'm going to be conformed to the death that he had. What was his death? They crucified his flesh. You've got to crucify yours. Amen? Come on. Say amen loud now. Amen. If he gave himself for me, I got to give myself for him. Amen. That's why you got to deal with your flesh and your nature. You got to crucify it. You say it's so hard. It was hard for him too. The flesh balks at it. Even Jesus said, if it be possible. The flesh was praying, this is possible. And you're going to find yourself dealing with your flesh. You're going to find it easy to get offended. You're going to get easy upset at your family. You and your husband are going to have a spat. And you think, well, I backslid before I got started knowing him. No, you're learning right now. Don't raise your hand, but how many have had a spat with each other? If you didn't, you're sure bored. We all have differences, don't we? And sometimes we get a little bit loud with it. But let me tell you what. That doesn't mean you can't love each other. I want you to see. You got to recognize God makes you see yourself by giving you what you don't want. My third child was a girl. I had all girls. Boy, I know about women. Before she was born, we thought she was a boy. And we was all wanting a boy. My other two girls and my wife and I wanted a boy. So when Carla was born, I think it was Renee called up and said, what is it? I said, it's a girl. She said, oh, I prayed for a boy. So I guess this is the way it works. When you pray for a boy, you get a girl. You pray for a girl, you get a boy. That's the way she understood it. I want you to know that there's some things you're going to learn that you don't get everything you want. And he'll teach you that you have to realize you've got to live bearing and forbearing. You've got to live with what you've got and make it a happy home. that crucifying the flesh squeals and it's like a stuck hog. It'll squeal to the high heavens. You can kill a sheep, it never makes a sound. So when you hear that squealing, that's a hog inside of you. Yeah, that's the devil nature. You're not devil possessed. You're just nature possessed. There's a difference in that. Judas never had the devil in him until he went out that door. But he had his nature in him. He sold himself, not Jesus, for 30 pieces of silver. So there's going to be that suffering involved in it. Now let's get back to this one. This hit the spot. For my determined purpose is that I may know him. And when I read that, I was so excited. That my determined purpose is that I may know him. That I may aggressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. That hit me. That's what I wanted. I wanted to learn more and more. I want to be more acquainted with him. Then I might perceive and recognize and understand what? The wonders of his person. Amen. The wonder of his person. The reason we say wonderful is because he's full of wonder. Don't ever get dull about this thing. Don't lose the wonder of Jesus Christ. And then he said that I may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts on all over believers, that I may so share what? His sufferings, as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death, and in the hope of the resurrection. I'll tell you what, that thrills me every time I read that. I got to go on, the time is getting short. I see some people coming, some going, I don't know where we are. Are we still in the ballpark here? Am I going over time? It's 11:25. What time do you usually get out? Well, then, are you ready for this? I can go by the clock anytime, because I can stop and quit whenever. But let me just read this through to you, then I'll quit. I took 2 Peter 1 and 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you, what? Through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. According as the divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and to virtue. That's how you know it. Whereby given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruptions in the world through lust. If you take and read the scriptures and obey every word that's written therein, you will learn that it has changing powers in it. Very quickly in Psalms 27:4, one thing I've desired of the Lord, and I want you to get that. You got to get one thing together, not a dozen things, not half a dozen, but one thing I desire of the Lord, and that will I seek after. You realize you've got to start reaching for it. That's what I did. I was reaching for it. I was hungry for it. It didn't leave me. It's still with me. I'm here to tell you, when you begin to get that kind of hunger in your soul, it won't leave you when you left the church. Every time I go back into it, I get inspired all over again with greater intensity. So don't get weary if you don't get everything you want the first day you pray. And then he said, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. I ask you to have a secret place of prayer where you pray by yourself. Somewhere in your home. Find a place or someplace that you can be familiar with. It's your secret hiding place. I'll get into that later. But I want you to find something like that when you go to pray. And when thou said unto me, seek my face. He said, my heart said unto thee, thy face will I seek. Let me tell you, friend, I discovered what this man had and what made him like he was, and I'll tell you more about it later. But I want you to know, when your heart says, I'll seek your face, you're getting somewhere now. You're reaching out there. He's connecting with you. He's pulling you. He's drawing you. It's no longer a drudgery. It's a joy. It's a pleasure. It's exciting. Then he said, wait on the Lord, be good of good courage, and he will strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And each one of those has something to be explained, but I'll just give it to you to read till I get back. Now, please, don't go home and put this in the drawer. A little later on, I've got it at home, I have a little card that I ask for those that want to be committed. And I want to put your picture on it so I can pray for you. I won't go far enough into this that you really mean business. Because I believe God's going to have every number He needs to fulfill His will in this generation. God bless you. I'm sorry that I couldn't be here tonight. I'm trying to take care of my commitments. They made preparations for it. And I couldn't get out of this one. I got out of one this morning, but I'll be back, and I can cancel people after this down the line, but I want to be here enough that I see some results. Are you going to be with me in it? Let's stand together and ask God to help us. Lord, You teach us the way. We don't know it. You are the way, You're the truth, and You're the life. Blessed be Your name, Jesus. We love You, we worship You, I exalt You. Now I pray to bless these people to go forth with what we've given them today and give them a good service tonight and next week. Let there be a glory cloud of heaven here. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Moran.
Praise the Lord, everyone. And once again, as we were hearing Brother Paul Price tonight, and you heard his style, he went in different directions, and as I was listening to this, I thought, this man is truly a teacher. Yes, he's a preacher, and he can get on fire and push his thought with the anointing of God, but at times he will slow down and just go into a teaching mode, and you just got to listen and understand what it is that he is giving with his spirit, because that's what he's preaching with, not just his voice, but with his whole heart and his spirit. I just made a few brief notes, that I may know him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Throughout his ministry, we continue to hear this from him. I want to know Jesus. I want to love Jesus more and more. He talked about the Apostle Paul. After the Apostle Paul was a great evangelist, a great missionary, a great apostle, and doing all the great many things that he did, and yet he still said, that I may know him. There's more to know of Jesus, praise God. Also, he talked about first he needs to be your Lord before he can be your Savior. He talked about sometimes we want to crawl into a hole just like Elijah did. We're all human. We have the like passions such as Elijah did. We know that we can have the faith to crawl out of that hole, praise God. He also talked about finding someone that wants more than the ordinary person. We need to make sure we associate with people that are always desiring more, wanting more of him. He talked about making sure that our strength is not small, but making sure that we are soldiers that are tried and true, who are willing to fight the good fight of faith. Towards the end, he talked about him revealing himself through you. In other words, the Lord being able to reveal himself through us. And we're going to be able to do that once we get this word into us, like Brother Paul Price has been ministering about. The last thing he talked about was your heart. Your heart says, I will seek for you. And again, it goes back to the first point, that I may know him. I need to make sure that my heart is full of that desire to know him so that other people can be able to see the Holy Ghost in me. And that brings me to my final point. Everyone, I just wanted to share with you some great things that took place with me last night after church. Someone asked me, Sister Cindy actually asked me to go visit someone at the hospital, and I went to go visit Debbie, who had some heart issues. And I went, when I got there, I wish all of you would have heard her voice and saw her eyes and her need when she said, I need Jesus. I need that Holy Ghost. I need that Holy Ghost that you have, because you know what? If something happens to me and I die, I don't know if I'm ready to meet the Lord. I don't know if I'm ready. I'm scared. I'm afraid. And as I heard her voice, everyone, boy, that really impacted me. It affected me, and it really gave me a burden and a desire for lost souls to be saved, especially when a soul is laying there saying, I need help. I need help. Would you pray for me? It was not difficult to pray for Debbie. Everyone, keep Debbie in your prayers. As soon as I got out of the hospital, someone texted me about a Spanish-speaking woman that's been visiting our church, and how that her son has been addicted to drugs and alcohol. And as I was told the story last night, this young man, in his drunken stupor, and while he's high, he begins to scream out at the top of his lungs. Lord, would you please send someone to help me? Lord, would you please send someone to help me? Again, the desperation and the cry of the lost. They're crying out, church. They're crying out, and it's you and I that are going to have to respond to that. And the only way we're going to respond to it is if we're full of what Brother Paul Price was preaching about tonight, and that's Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost, full of a burden and a desire to help the lost. As soon as I got back towards Ontario, I got to a gas station, and this is what I want to tell you. I saw a young man cross in front of my car, walking with a young woman. And as I saw his face and his eyes, I nodded to him. He nodded to me. And in that moment, and I hope I can impose this upon you, that I can transfer this thing that took place last night. As I looked into his eyes, and he quickly glanced at me, something happened inside of me, everyone. Something happened where I felt like I needed to connect with him. I needed to give him something. And sure enough, I waited 3-4 minutes for him to come out. As soon as he came out, I had a card in my hand, and he came by the car, and I looked at him, and I said, "Hey." He looked at me. "Yes, what is it?" "I have something for you." He walks towards me. I have the card in my hand, the church card. He asks, "You have a job for me?" And without even thinking about it, I said, "Yup. The Lord has a job for you. God has a job for you. And he's calling you. He wants something with you. And I don't know what it is, but he's calling you." He looks at me, "Well, who are you? What are you all about?" And church, all I can tell you is this. This boldness came over me. This boldness came over me, and I just began to talk to this young man. He began to tell me, I don't think God can help me. He, in his words, "My chest is full of devils," whatever that meant. And I said, "Hey, it doesn't matter what you're full of. The Lord can cleanse you. The Lord can deliver you. He can save you because the Lord has something for you and for this young lady." The young lady begins to speak in Spanish. And I began to communicate with her in Spanish, and something began to develop. I said, "You know what? I want your phone number. Give me your phone number. I'm going to be in touch with you." "Well, who are you? Are you a police officer? Are you undercover? Are you this and this and that?" And the young woman said, "You know, I told you he's from church. I just knew he was from church." The young woman seemed to identify who I was and what I was about. Church, what I'm trying to tell you is this. When we hear that still, small voice, and I'm feeling the Holy Ghost saying this to you right now, we need to be able to respond without hesitation and give the word that is needed at that moment. The young man gave me his number. "You better not be giving me a bogus, fake number." I'm not. "Well, all right, let me text it." I texted him. It was his number, and I'm going to be praying for him. And I told him the Lord has got his number. Church, I just felt the need to share. All of these things happened last night after church. If we desire this, if we have a burden for this, the Lord will begin to open the door for us so that we can meet the right people at the right time. Boy, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost right now. You know, I feel like closing this out with prayer. Why don't we just pray right now that the Lord, hallelujah, that the Lord is going to begin to open the door for you. For our church. I spoke to Pastor Clark about this today. Pastor, God is beginning to drop this burden, not just into our culture, but into our blood. It's who we are. It's what we are. Let's pray right now and ask that the Lord would continue, Yaravashatai, would continue to develop this burden in each and every one of us. Let's pray, Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for what we heard from Brother Paul Price tonight. It's your word. It's your word. It's evangelism. It's your anointing, Lord God, and we want it in each and every one of us, Lord. I'm asking you to begin to anoint and bless everyone that's been hearing this, Lord God, that they would begin to desire that spirit of evangelism, that spirit of outreach, of helping souls, of saving the lost, Lord, in each and every one of us, Lord God. We want to be your voice. We want to be your hands. We want to be your feet, Lord Jesus. En el nombre de Jesús, in the name of Jesus, we're praying. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and amen. Praise God, everyone. I hope you feel this anointing. You feel this touch that we're feeling right now. Praise God. And be praying and be meditating upon it. We hope to see everyone on Wednesday night. We plan to have those signs, those yard signs for Easter on Wednesday night. If you want one, if you ordered one, be ready to receive it to put on your front yards for the rest of the week so you can be promoting it. It's another form of outreach and evangelism. Hallelujah. All right, everyone. Have a great night in the name of Jesus.